Who's Talking on Richmond Sports Radio 910. Diehard Wahoo Frank Maloney and former UVA basketball standout Jim Hobgood break down the Cavaliers each week by bringing you inside the game and behind the scenes with all-star interviews and classic Hobbo humor. Who's Talking is brought to you by Ortho Virginia, Moore's Volvo, LeClaire Ryan, the Virginia Athletics Foundation, CapTech Consulting, TheSaber.com, Hildrup Moving and Storage, Kelleher Heating and Air, Richmond Allergy and Asthma Associates, Zacharias Ganey Health Institute, and La Mer Restaurant. Now, Who's Talking is on Sports Radio 910. Here's Frank and Jim.
Good evening, Wahoos and fellow ACC fans. This is Frank Maloney and my co-host Jim Hobgood. And we are lucky tonight to have Chris Sill back in the house. We don't know where he was, but it's good to have him back.
Good to be back.
Welcome, everyone. Spring football concluded recently, and UVA is still looking for a commitment on that quarterback position. But at least they've identified who's going to play center. That's what I like. All right.
That's where it all starts, though, you know.
The ball's got to be snapped.
That's it.
Number five UVA baseball team continues to amaze everyone. They swept Florida State last weekend, and they beat U of R last night, and they're trying to take out JMU tonight. Holy cow, Brian O'Connor has got it going again. Number one UVA men's tennis team, and Brian Boland, that's O'Connor's next-door neighbor, racked up another undefeated ACC season, going for a seventh consecutive ACC title this coming weekend.
Do they really live next door to each other?
They really do.
Oh, that's cool.
UVA lacrosse team faces a tough road as they travel down to Cary, North Carolina. Well, actually, Keenan Stadium. Take that back. Keenan Stadium, they're going to face Maryland on Friday. That thing's on ESPNU. Big game. Let's see if Dom Starcia and the kids can put together two wins in a row and then get themselves into the championship on Sunday where they would face either Carolina or Duke. They got to win the ACC tournament to get to the NCAAs. Anyhow, we're glad that you've joined us.
Well, if they win two in a row, technically that would give them the ACC championship, right?
They won this past weekend, Hobbo.
Oh, two in a row. I'm thinking two in a row this weekend. Okay.
Yes, got to stay on top of things.
Well, you know, I'm a little sleepy tonight, you know, because there are people all over town thinking, is this Monday night? No, it's Wednesday night. We're back to a special bonus show tonight. Back on our old home on Wednesday nights, but we'll be back to our normal Monday night next August. At any rate, we got a lot to talk about tonight, and a really, really good show. As always, first up, we have former UVA tennis All-American Brian Vahely, then former UVA baseball player Robbie Robinson, who also happens to be the voice of the VCU Rams at this point in time, and then in the second half hour, UVA rowing coach Kevin Sauer.
Unbelievable. He got all three. Three for three. Woohoo!
That's it. Kevin Sauer, is he in the mayonnaise business? That's somebody else.
No,
right?
That
Sauer's mayonnaise
probably is related somehow. No, he always seems very happy.
All right, we'll break down a huge spring calendar. As Frank said, a lot going on. Lacrosse, baseball, tennis, as always in Virginia. Spring sports are met with a lot of success. So a lot to talk about here on the show. And Chris Sill, mentioned already, we'll tell you how you can follow us and Who's Talking.
All right. Thank you, guys. Who's Talking? We're streaming live on sportsradio910.com and thesaber.com. Go ahead and check us out on Facebook. Search Who's Talking and become a fan. All of our shows are archived and recorded on thesaber.com. Or call in if you want to give Jim grief for not wearing a necktie to the show tonight. It's 345-0910. 345-0910.
Well, Frank, of course, is excited because the ACC passed the Bill of Rights. No, Grant of Rights.
There you go.
Grant of Rights. I had to make one mistake for you. But no, the Bill of Rights, which... Grant of Rights. Well, the Bill of Rights, you know, that's important, too. A lot of Virginia history in the Bill of Rights. So a lot of Virginia people, Madison, Jefferson. Mr. Jefferson, always important to UVA conversation. At any rate, that's certainly going to be significant from the standpoint of the ACC. I guess it locks in teams, that and the $50 million exit fee, which is, I guess, to be determined in court relative to whether Maryland's going to have to pay that. Of course, the George Welsh Indoor Practice Facility opened recently, used this spring, and I guess there was a public opportunity to see that a couple of weeks ago. Did you go over for that?
I did not, but there will be another opportunity, I feel certain, this summer. So stay tuned, and we'll try to get the word out on that.
And the baseball team, as Frank said, they're underway over in Charlottesville as we speak, playing James Madison, a big weekend series against Virginia Tech, and an upcoming series before too long against the University of North Carolina, who I think was ranked number one. Are they the number one ranked team? Although they lost, I think, to somebody maybe last night.
Carolina is actually 39-2, which is pretty impressive. Although
Not too shabby, as they say.
I think that they have played the lower-tier teams in the ACC, whereas Virginia has faced almost all the top-tier teams with the exception of Carolina. But anyhow, we all know that as the way the schedule plays out, Virginia plays Virginia Tech this weekend in a three-game series. Then they'll be at the Diamond next Tuesday night. If you're not going to that game, you're crazy. It'll be great fun. Then Virginia hosts Duke May 10th through 12th. Then and VCU. Then they're at Carolina the next weekend, which is the 16th, 17th, and 18th prior to the ACC tournament. But everyone has been pointing to this game really for a month and a half. Or that series against Carolina.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, Carolina-Virginia could be College World Series potential team, so we'll see. So it'd be a heck of a series. But at any rate, Frank's going to introduce our first guest.
Well, we are very fortunate. It's only taken us about 2 months or so, 2.5 months, to get Brian Vahely scheduled. But we're very delighted. Former UVA tennis All-American. He teamed with Huntley Montgomery to form one of the best doubles teams in the nation. And really, without question, Brian Vahely really sort of brought Virginia tennis back, I think. Certainly did some remarkable things at Virginia and made Virginia relevant again on the tennis scene. And I think in some respects may have paved the way, if you will, for the success that Brian Boland has had. Brian was ACC Rookie of the Year. And he was two-time ACC Player of the Year. Not many tennis players can say that they did that. Studied finance at Virginia and finished Virginia, as we said previously, as an academic All-American. He toured on the ATP tour on that circuit for about 4 years or so. And then he had some shoulder surgeries. But today, Brian is quite well regarded, obviously, for what he's doing on the big board at the USTA. So, without further ado, Brian, are you there?
Yes. How you guys doing?
Very good. It's good to have you, Brian. Seems like probably a long time ago for you that you remember your playing days in Charlottesville, but we're very excited about what Brian Boland is doing today for the tennis program, and obviously he keeps recruiting great players who not only excel on the courts but also in the classroom, and they go on to great things, and Somdev Devarman gets a lot of high fives these days, but you sort of preceded Somdev in that regard. You made the national finals, I believe, both in singles and doubles, and that to me, that's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny looking back, and it was funny to hear your introduction and think back to the history of UVA and UVA tennis. When I initially signed to come to Virginia, you know, at that point the team was ranked 64 in the country. There weren't really known much for tennis. I came to Charlottesville and I absolutely loved the campus. I wanted the opportunity to play, number one, my first year as a freshman and lead. And I thought it was a great opportunity with a athletic department that was willing to support the team, support us. And we were able to build something. And that, for me, is much more exciting to try and build a program as opposed to, you know, sort of being a part of something that's already has already happened. So I thought that the team that I went on did a great job of putting Virginia on the map. And I think Boland has just taken recruiting to a whole new level, consistently bringing in the number one and number two ranked recruiting classes in the country. And it's a program that I'm very proud to be a part of.
Well, we're delighted to have you on the show. And for our listeners, this is Brian Vahely, former UVA tennis All-American. And, some thoughts come to mind a little bit. Back in the old days when I was in school and there really was no tennis budget to speak of, and the courts were up there near U-Haul. I believe, didn't you get to play your team matches down there at the Snyder courts before they got rebuilt?
Yes, Snyder started about a year before I got there. So we did have a nicer facility. You know, and we had just recently gotten the jumbo board to be able to, you know, post out our scores and things like that. But it was still very small. We were fighting with the, you know, the boar's head to try and get court times in the morning and the afternoon. You know, Charlottesville's a very, they play a lot of tennis there. So it's very difficult for us to get spots. And, you know, that's part of being in a program that frankly wasn't getting that much attention at that point. So it's to see how much money's been raised, to see how the program's excelled, you know, it certainly takes you back to where we were, and I'm excited to see where it is now.
You know, Brian is working on an incredible win streak. They've won 103 consecutive ACC dual matches, and they're going down to Cary, North Carolina this weekend to go for their seventh consecutive ACC title. Obviously, this particular team and Brian Boland, they're thinking of bigger things this year. They're thinking about a national championship. But first things first, have you been in touch a little bit with Brian Boland and some of the players on the team and that kind of thing?
Yeah, so one of my competitors back when I was at school was actually the assistant coach, Andres Pedroso. He was playing at Duke. And so, you know, I grew up playing with him. I played against him in college. We played against each other in the pros. So I know him very well, and I'm always interested to hear, you know, his feedback on the players, how they're doing. Mitchell Frank, you know, he's had a very successful career at Virginia. He came out of D.C., where, you know, I currently have my job, and was able to train with him for, you know, a year just to, you know, help in any way I can. I mean, I can still hit the ball well. I just can't move as well as I once did. But, I know the team well. I know their strengths and weaknesses well and where you know, and I try and help Boland in any ways that I can. I don't get to see the team enough. I try and sneak out for one or two matches a year. But I'll tell you, this team, number one, the history it has in the ACC is incredible. I think they've run into some tough competition with Southern Cal, who's been, you know, won the national championship the last 4 years and taken down Virginia each time. But Steve Johnson, their leader, is now out, you know, playing professionally at the U.S. Open, things like that. And I think it's just an incredible opportunity this year that I think they're finally going to break this little streak and finally take on the title.
Looking at the lineup this year, Brian says the hardest part with this particular team is deciding where to line up the players because, you know, for instance, three of the players have played number one this year. And, of course, his next-door neighbor, Brian O'Connor, says, boy, that's tough. And so, they, you know, they kind of tease each other like that. But back in your day, you played a lot of tennis with Huntley Montgomery. And talk a little bit about what it was like in those years and maybe what was your favorite moment as a Cavalier player?
Yeah, it's, you know, well, certainly speaking to Coach Bowen, I mean, he's got three players that have won individual national championships. So to have that luxury to put them at one, two, or three, I think number one is actually difficult for him to decide, but also you know, it's tough for the guy that's playing three because, frankly, in any other college in the country, they'd be playing number one. So that's it, what I think is so exciting about this team now. I mean, looking back for me, it was such – everything was so new. You know, playing in the NCAAs, getting to the finals, I mean, that was something at that point no ACC player had even done. So, you know, for me, all of it was sort of new territory. What's so fun about college tennis is that ability, those moments with Huntley Montgomery, with those other players that I was there with, when you're competing at the ACC championships, at the NCAA championships, you know, one match left on the court, if you happen to be out there, which for me happened a couple times, I mean, those are memories from a team perspective that you just only get those 4 years. You know, the rest of your life leading up to college and after college, it's just you competing against the world. And so to have those moments with Huntley on the, you know, in the finishing as the number one ranked doubles team in the country that year, you know, and playing guys that, you know, having the opportunity when I was ranked number two in the country and the number one player from VCU came in and we played in Charlottesville. Actually, he ended up playing number two and ducked me in the match. But just to have that enthusiasm and energy was incredible. You know, I mean, that's what it's like playing in front of your family, playing in front of your friends. I mean, it's a very unique experience for tennis, which is just, you know, very much an individual sport. So I loved being in Charlottesville. I loved how many people love tennis in Charlottesville. So it's very easy to get support from friends and sort of the community. And, you know, it's just, I love going back. I love being in D.C. I love being 2.5 hours away and driving and being a part of it. So I probably could, you know, talk for hours about what I love. It's been difficult to move on.
Absolutely. Brian, this is Jim Hobgood, by the way. And we're visiting with Brian Vahely, a former UVA Tennis All-America. You know, I guess the only thing Brian Bolin hasn't done is win the national championship. So as they prepare for the ACC championship and the NCAAs, is there a difference from a preparation standpoint for tournament tennis as opposed to the regular season?
You know, I don't necessarily think so. I think one of the challenges is UVA has been dominant in the ACC. They just, you know, there's been Duke and North Carolina, some other schools that are in the top 10, but frankly, they have been a level above them for a long period. I think UVA has been very successful in the winter, playing indoors, playing against top five teams, the UCLAs, the USCs, the Stanfords. But they don't get to see that level of competition again until the NCAAs. And oftentimes, you know, when you're the number one ranked team, which UVA has been at three or four of the NCAA tournaments, you know, it's a tremendous amount of pressure where all the expectations are on you, and the expectations continue to build each year that you have not won it. But at the same time, when you're coming out of an ACC regular season undefeated, you go into the tournament, and I would bet a lot of money they're going to go ahead and win it very comfortably again this year. You know, oftentimes I wish they had more of an opportunity to play some of those top teams later on in the season to really make sure they're, you know, matched up, because you hate, they have such a strong schedule at the beginning of the year playing four or five of the top 10 teams, and then oftentimes are playing some of these ACC schools that frankly aren't on the same level. So I think that adjusting to the higher level at such a big moment with so much pressure on the line, and especially when other schools know that the pressure's on Virginia. I mean, everybody's waiting and wondering why they haven't done it, and they have come points away from winning the title. A couple years watching, I could have sworn they were going to do it. So, you know, the pressure sort of continues to build, but I think Bolin does an incredible job insulating them from that, getting them very focused on a match-by-match basis. And I think without a Steve Johnson, who was just so tough, you know, winning NCAAs year after year, every year he was in college, it's just, I'm glad to have him gone.
I think everybody that cheers for the Wahoo tennis team feels the same way. Quickly, and this is our last question tonight, you know, now that you're on the USTA board, it is my understanding that developing the younger American players for the ATP circuit is one of your primary initiatives. What has to be done on the part of the USTA to help those kids get ready to be a pro?
You know, it's a very tough question. I'm certainly on the player development committee. I'm honored to be a part of the USTA board. You know, I don't believe there's a magic formula to any of this. I think in the past, the USTA has tried to handpick top players and groom them the best they can. But it's difficult to pull players from their primary coaches. Some players, like, you know, are better when they're living and training at home. There's just, you look at Serena Williams versus Pete Sampras versus Michael Chang versus Andre Agassi. I mean, in many cases, there's nothing similar there. And, you know, to assume that we can build a program that's going to, you know, put out top champion after top champion, I think is in many ways unrealistic. I think the biggest thing the USTA can do is provide more opportunity and more, you know, I hate to see pro-level tournaments leaving Los Angeles, leaving San Jose. I prefer to see more of the money invested in the grassroots so more people have access to tennis. And I feel like right now it's become it's not a very affordable sport. And if we can change that, turn it into more of the T-ball, the basketball leagues, give more access to the game, I think we can bring in more players and hence a better shot at becoming a champion. But, you know, at the upper levels, you know, what the difference between Samdev, Devarman, you know, and Djokovic sometimes are just a few points and a few shots. So
unbelievable. Well, Brian, we've enjoyed having you on. It's always great to bring in former UVA tennis players. We had Carl Clark on last year, and we had a lot of fun with Carl. And we bring Brian Bolin back periodically. We're going to try to bring him back in May. But best of luck to you, and I hope you'll stay in touch with us, and maybe we can bring you back next year.
That sounds great.
Brian, thank you very much. All right, we're headed to break. When we come back, we're going to have Robbie Robinson, voice of the Rams and a former UVA baseball player. Stay with us.